Mark chapter 10, and we're talking about vision today, not about Thanksgiving. We'll do that next Sunday, Lord willing. This is what's on my heart for today, to talk about vision. And we're going to read here from this text, from the story of Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10 and verse number 46. Mark 10 and verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Vision is such an important thing. When you become a Christian, of course, you have spiritual blindness that is removed, and you begin to be able to see things that you could never see before. Amen? Amen. The carnal man doesn't see the things of the Spirit of God. But the spiritual man begins to see things differently. And I believe that God wants you and I to be a people of vision. Vision. And for us to be seen and understanding the plan of God, the purpose of God, and understand that when you come to the Lord and you got saved, that was the beginning of a flow of divine revelation that comes to your life, that the Lord just continues to speak to you and reveal His plan and His purpose in you and for your life. Amen. It doesn't matter in what condition you're in. It doesn't matter what your problems are. It doesn't matter how old you are. None of these things matter when it comes to God and to His vision. Because God has a purpose for every one of us at whatever stage in our life or whatever circumstance in our life that we are. And it all begins with meeting Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where it starts. Some years ago, I don't remember exactly the year. Well, it's probably been, I know Erica was 10 years old. So how long ago was that? 22 years ago, 23 years ago, Brother D.C. Branham passed away. And when he died, Brother David, his son, called and asked Marsh and I if we could sing a song in his funeral, which was a great honor. But we didn't know the song. And I think we had heard the song. But it was a song that Brother Branham had sung in the early days of his ministry when he was an evangelist. Brother Branham had gotten saved. Actually, his first experience was in the Church of Christ. He actually graduated from a Church of Christ Bible college and pastored a Church of Christ for a little while. But then the miracle that took place was that he came into Pentecost, and that he began to evangelize, and he pastored, and the Lord used him. And actually, amazingly, his ministry and his vision was destined to affect people all over the world. Isn't that something? That the Lord could just pick up someone out of a little obscure place out in Kansas, save them, and give them a vision. And that was the little song that he sang as an evangelist. I've had a vision of Jesus. I've had a touch from my Lord. I don't know all the words. I've caught a glimpse of my Lord. Down through the clouds he is coming, just as he said in his word. See the bright light in the heavens shining from the east to the west. I've had a vision of Jesus filling and thrilling my soul. It was a really nice little song, had two or three verses, and we learned it and sang it because it was, Sister Branham said that song was a testimony of his life, that he was a visionary, and that vision had come from the Lord. I've had a vision that has come from the Lord. Now, before we talk about Bartimaeus, let's go to the most famous verse about vision, and that's in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, every other version of this that I read, in other Bible versions that I read, it says the first part of that verse exactly the same. It says, where there is no vision, or if there is no vision, but the phrase that says the people perish, it says that the people cast off restraint, or there is no guideline. It says, but he that keeps the law, he's happy, because the law of God provides restraint. It provides a guide for their life. It provides for them an understanding of the perimeters that God has established in their life. And when you know that, and when you have that revelation that comes from the Lord, that vision from God, then you understand that God is concerned about your life, and He's concerned about your life from this day forward. Amen. There's so much talk about, you know, the down. Politically, everybody's down and discouraged about what is going on. The economy, everything's down. People are discouraged about the conditions that we're in. Morally, everything, every direction you look, there is this hopelessness that seems to be expressed in our society today, and even sometimes among Christian people and in the church. But that is not to be the controlling influence or factor in the body of Christ. Christians are to be people of vision. And that vision comes from God. The word there in Proverbs 29, the word for vision is a Hebrew word that means dream, revelation, or oracle. Oracle. It really is describing something that is coming from straight from God. It is coming from the Lord. God, who is speaking, and we are receiving something from the Lord. And when it's there, it provides a guide for our life. It provides a perimeter. It provides direction for our lives. When there's no vision, people just do whatever they want to do. But when there's a vision, people do what God wants us to do. That's why it's so important that we be a people of vision, because it's important that from this day forward that we are obeying the voice of God and that we're doing what God wants us to do with our life. Amen. The remaining days in our life. I read this verse on the broadcast this morning, and it's one of my favorite verses in Jeremiah 29 and 11. This verse that talks about the fact that we're in the mind of God. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Now that's almost hard for me to even comprehend, that God thinks about me and He thinks about you. You are in the mind of God and He has a vision for you. He wants to speak right directly to you and to speak to your need and to your situation and let you see that if you'll put your trust in the Lord, God has a plan and a wonderful, mighty plan for your life. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, not evil. God, He has a plan for you. And the King James says to give you an expected end. Other versions talk about a hope and a peace. Or a hope and a fulfillment of your dreams and your desires that come from the Lord. How important is it that there be a vision? A couple of examples in the Bible in the days of Samuel. Samuel was just a small child when he was brought to the temple and to the household of Eli. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1 that the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious or scarce in those days. There was no open vision. No open vision. The word open there comes from a Hebrew word that means something that's breaking forth or bursting forth like a spring that is just constantly flowing. There was no open vision in Israel at their time. There was no prophet of God, no man of God, no one that was speaking the words of the Lord. It's so important that there be this continual speaking forth of the things of God. Amen. The Word of God, a revelation. I know that there's not revelation in addition to the Word of the Lord, but God speaks His Word directly to our life and to our times and to our circumstances and to our future. Let me tell you, God's concerned about your future. Amen. He's concerned about it. And since we know that really what we have from this day forward is a future, and that we need to understand that as we come to the Lord, that we can find help from the Lord. The scripture says in Samuel's day, Eli's eyes were dim, physically dim, but no doubt also spiritually dim. The vision was gone. The understanding of the will and the purpose of God was gone. The lamp was about to go out in the house of God physically, but it was also typical of what was going on in the spiritual condition of the nation. On down in verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 3. This was a part of the prophetic word that came to this little child Samuel. That he was even afraid to tell Eli all the things that God had spoken to him in this nighttime revelation. He was afraid because it was a judgment that was coming to Eli's household. God said to him, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. He knows better than what he's allowing. Because his sons have made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Again, back to the verse there in Proverbs. Where there is no vision, when there is no bursting forth, no continual flow of the voice and the revelation of God. When that is the situation, then there's no restraint. There's no restraint. And nothing, no guidelines. People are just going in all directions without understanding the purpose of God. And when you do that, you know that you can never accomplish the will of God when you're just living haphazardly, carelessly, without a set purpose, a set goal, an understanding of the call of God and the purpose of God. You're wasting your time, your energy, and some of the pursuits that you're involved in because it does not move you in the direction of the vision of God. That God has for your life. Amen. The Apostle Paul, he had that wonderful experience of meeting Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And his eyes were blinded. But it's interesting, during that time of 3 days of blindness, it was during that time that he was physically blind, but he was spiritually, his spiritual sight was being restored. And when the scales fell off and he was able to see once again, then he understood that he was called of God. He understood that he had a purpose, and that was to do the opposite of what he was doing, and now to strengthen the church and to build the church and to be an apostle of the church. Later on, when he testified before King Agrippa, he said, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. He received a vision from God, and from that day forward, he was following the will of God. He was fulfilling God's purpose for his life, and God was revealing it to him, and it was this continuous flow of God's purpose and God's will for his life. Amen. Now, as people of vision, we need to understand the times that we're living in. We need to understand where we are as far as God's time is concerned, and asking the Lord, Lord, would you open my eyes so I could see what you want me to be doing right now, what you want me to be involving in, what direction you want me to take. Lord, give me an understanding. Let there be an open vision, a revelation from you, so that I can understand exactly how that you want to work in my life. Later on, Paul, when he was about to die, giving his farewell, He described it this way. I fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. And the analogy there was his life was like a race, and he was at the finish line. He had completed it, and so he had fulfilled all of those things. So there were no regrets about the way that his life ended, no regrets at all, because he understood that he had fulfilled the purpose of God for his life. Amen. We need to be a people of vision. I think we can see a few things from the life of Bartimaeus here in Mark chapter 10. He was blind, and his condition, his blind condition was first of all, it was his identity. The Bible literally says he was blind Bartimaeus. That's who he was. He was identified by his need and by his situation. Can you imagine the circumstance that he was in? Absolutely dependent. His life was just barely an existence. Every day it was just survival. It was a degrading lifestyle, a hopeless lifestyle. And every day he spent his days with nothing but darkness and hopelessness. That was blind Bartimaeus. That describes his present situation when he meets Jesus. The Bible says that he was the son of Timaeus. His name was Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. And his father, Timaeus, his name, it meant foul or polluted or unclean. Some believe that Timaeus was also blind, and that there was something hereditary. And so not only was Bartimaeus set free from his present blindness, but from possibly passing on that blindness to another generation. And so here he is. His past is unclean and foul and hopeless. He is just Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. That describes his past. His present is just that he is blind, Bartimaeus. And so you can see that his past is hopelessness. His present condition is hopelessness. He doesn't have anything but a future. That's all that he has. And by the way, for those of you in this service this morning, I want to just remind you that there's not a whole lot that you have but your future. You have memories. You're thankful and grateful for the faithfulness of the Lord. But much of what has happened in the past, you can't do anything about that. You need to commit that to Jesus Christ and then move on from this day forward. Amen. You cannot let your past destroy you. You cannot let your past be the thing that identifies you. You can't live in a situation of hopelessness. You need to come and meet Jesus first of all. Amen. He's the one that can change your life and your future. He's the only one that can. So his present situation was he was a blind man living a hopeless life, living in darkness. And humiliated every day, dependent every day. What a circumstance to be in. But his blindness was stopping. Now there's a comparison here to the spiritual blindness of many. And maybe many of us here this morning in this service today. We need to understand that God is the only hope for the future. It's not in politics. It's not in the wisdom of man or the economy or anything. You look at anything that this world has to offer and it's nothing but hopelessness. It's just like Bartimaeus. This world is so blind. They can't comprehend what's right. They can't comprehend the way to go. They don't understand. This world is just like Bartimaeus. In a mess. Hopeless. Their lives without any hope and no future. There's no future in this world or in this country without Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the beginning of hope. That's the beginning of hope. Somewhere along the line, we don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us as far as Bartimaeus' history. But the word of Jesus and the reputation of Jesus had come to the listening ears of this blind man on the side of the road. And there was just enough that he'd heard about Jesus that faith rose up in his heart. You know, it doesn't take a lot of word for you to act on in faith. Amen. So he didn't know a lot. He didn't have a lot of theology. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He didn't know Him. All that he knew was what he had heard about Him. And that was what he was acting on that day when Jesus was passing by with a great number of people. The crowds were there and this man begins to cry out. He understands enough about Him to know that He was Jesus of Nazareth. To know that He was the fulfillment of the prophecy concerning the Messiah, because Him, thou son of David. And he knew that Jesus was able to help people in their need. And he cried out to Him for mercy. Have mercy on me. Have mercy upon me. Let me tell you, the very beginning of your vision from God, the very beginning of your vision from the Lord starts with your being willing to put your full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't put your confidence in your education. Don't put your confidence in your own natural abilities. Don't put your confidence in anything that's of this world. Put your hope in Jesus. That's the only hope for you. And He is the one that will give you a vision. He's the one that will speak to you about your life. He's the one that will give you a hope for your life and for your future. William Carey said, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Amen. Amen. You mean, in a time like this? I mean, we're in a rough, difficult time in our nation, in the international community. Things are bad all over the world. How is it possible that we could leave a service today saying, you know, God has promised us a future. He's promised us a vision. He's promised us something good in our life, and that we just need to come to Him and believe. So that's where it starts. Put your trust in the Lord. Don't trust in yourself. You don't have the answer. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Number two, it says that when He began to cry out, that all the crowd began to say, you need to be quiet. He's not interested in you. He's an important man. He's not interested in you. If you want a vision from God, you're going to have to come to Jesus Christ and you're going to have to ignore all the other voices around you. Amen. Amen. You're going to have to shut them out. You're going to have to forget about. Now, it's good that you can have good godly counsel. I'm not saying you shouldn't have good godly counsel. But there's a lot of people that would love to destroy your faith, your confidence in God, your vision for what God wants to do in your life and in your future. Don't let the naysayers defeat you. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe Him and don't listen to all the doubters. Amen. Even Jesus, when He came to the house of Jairus' daughter, He put out all of those that were doubters. He set them all out of that place and only had those few in the inner circle there to pray with Him and to bring her up out of her condition and to revive her. And it was an atmosphere of confidence and faith in God. Amen. Some people just enjoy killing your faith. They enjoy it. If they see someone that seems a little bit too faith-filled and too confident in the Lord, then they want to come along and try to douse it and discourage it. Don't let it happen. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, because vision comes from Him. Hope comes from Him. He's the one that can give you a future, the only one that can. And then shut out all the other voices. A lot of people turn their back on God. Some even backslide and turn away from the Lord because they listened to the wrong voices. The wrong voices that defeated them and discouraged them and caused them to doubt their confidence in God and their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has a purpose and a plan for your life, and you need to listen to the voice of God and ignore the crowd. Amen. Praise God. It says when he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out. And all those around him charged him that he should hold his peace. But what did he do? He cried out the more. Amen. Here was a man who had nowhere to go. He had no past. His present situation was hopeless. Everywhere that he looked, it was hopelessness. There was only one possibility for him to get out of the despair that he was in. And that man was walking through the crowd at that very moment. And he knew that he could not let him get by. So he just cried out the more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want a vision from God, it's going to take determination. It's going to take a determination. You're going to have to be committed to it. You're going to have to believe in the power of God, the power of His Word. You're going to have to believe only the Word of God and ignore the doubters and not let anything stop you. Press and continue to press into the things of the Lord. I just want to ask you, have you given much thought? Now, I know young people do this. They say that the major decisions in a person's life are made between the time that they're 16 and 26. The major decisions in their life, in those young years. And so young people, they're pretty concerned about decisions that they're making, and they're kind of looking to the future. But some others, when we get 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, we're thinking, all the good is in my past. You cannot find that in the Word of God at all. If you look in the Word of God, you'll see that God starts new wonderful things and reveals Himself to people at all different phases in their life. All different ages that God begins to work. One of the most encouraging things about Brother Clendenin was that he talked about that I am doing what I was born to do. And it really, everything in his life built up to that time when he was 70 years old and he begins this international ministry that starts. And for 17 years, he's traveling at a mad pace all over the world preaching the gospel. Amen. And actually until 3 months before he died, he was still at it. Still at it, traveling into foreign countries, traveling, preaching the gospel and declaring the word of the Lord. And he lived out his days fulfilling the vision that God had given to him. It really doesn't matter where you are, at what phase in your life that you're in. What you have is from this day forward, give it to God. Give it to the Lord. Trust it to Jesus Christ. And ask Him to begin to reveal to you His purpose and His plan. An oracle from God. A dream from God. A revelation from God. As to what His divine purpose is for your life. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus then stood still. Glory to God. Isn't that an amazing statement? That Jesus stood still. It tells me that Jesus is just as concerned about the poor man, about the uneducated person. He's just as concerned about the handicapped, about the needy. It doesn't matter who you are or what class in life that you may find yourself to be in with Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as class. With Jesus Christ, you're just a soul. You're just a person, a man or a woman that Jesus died on the cross for you. He paid the price for you. And when Bartimaeus cried out, this man who has lived his life in such a degrading way, Jesus stopped. Amen. Jesus stood still. And he begins to respond to him and commanded him to be called, commanded him to be called. You know, it's an important thing for us to take time to consider our future. We've talked about this before, that if you're going to get your driver's license, you have to go through driving training, and you have to go take a written test and a driving test, and it's a huge process. And a lot of things that you do in the development of your life, new privileges that come, require a great deal of effort. It's interesting to me that people can just go down and sign a few papers and pay a few dollars and get a marriage license, and that's probably the single most important decision that they're going to make in all of their life. No plans, no preparation. When it comes to your future, you need to give yourself to this. We need to give ourselves to this. What is it that God is wanting to do in your life over the next few weeks, over the next year, over the next 2 or 3 years or in the future? You say, oh, well, the Lord is coming and we just need to hold on as best we can until He comes. You think that's what occupy means? That's not what Jesus meant when He commanded us to occupy until He comes. The commandment of the Lord is that we work till it, for the night is coming. We're to be busy. We're to be working. We're to be fulfilling our purpose. God put us here in this world. And He wants us to be living out the days of our life, fulfilling His will and His purpose in our life. We must be a people of vision. And that vision comes from God, as I described, that in Samuel's day there was no open vision. There needs to be in our life an open vision, a continuous relationship with Jesus Christ every day in His Word, every day in prayer, so that we can hear the voice of God. Amen. Speaking to us about our lives and our future. I think it'd be worthwhile for a lot of us, all of us, to take a little time to seek the Lord about 2011. Pray about it. Seek the Lord about it. What does God have planned? What is it? Is it just us make our, do we just make our plans for the future? Or do we ask the Lord? Do we take a little time with the Lord and ask the Lord what He wants us to do? I think it'd be wonderful if we could set aside some times, even some days, and just set those aside for the purpose of praying, fasting, seeking the Lord, asking the Lord, Lord, what is it that You want to do in me? What do You want to do in my life in particular? How do You want to use me in these next coming months and years? What is the plan of God? And begin to seek the Lord about your future and what God and how He would want to fulfill your life, because you do have a future. He has promised you, I will give you a hope and a future. Amen. And expect it in. God is the one that will give that if we'll put our trust in the Lord. You say, well, what is it that the Lord wants me to do? Well, that's exactly what Jesus asked Bartimaeus. Amen. It says that he cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? He just said, what do you want? Now, Jesus knew he was blind, and he probably knew what he was going to say. So whenever Jesus asks questions, it's not for his benefit, it's for our benefit. Amen. Amen. What is it that you want me to do? What do you want me to do? You know, there's several people in the Bible that God said, what do you want me to do? What do you want? I'll do it for you. Whatever you ask, I'll do it for you. You know that the Lord invites His people to come to Him and to ask of the Lord. Ask of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean you fulfill your carnal desires when you ask, but it does mean that as you're seeking the Lord about your life and your future, as God puts things in your heart, ask Him to do it. Ask Him to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. You're sitting there kind of quiet, like you think I may be off track this morning. Let's read a verse in Romans chapter 8. I think we need to tell God. I don't mean boss Him around. I think we need to ask Him. Ask Him. Lord, would You do this? Would You work in this way in my life? Here's a wonderful verse in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now let's think about that verse. What's it saying? It's saying Jesus, He gave, that the Father gave His Son so that we could be saved. He gave us the ultimate gift of salvation. That's the gift of God that's being described there. And then it goes on and says, if He gave you the ultimate gift, the greatest thing that you could ever, ever have, and that is salvation from your sins, how could we not understand that He is a God who wants to give us everything if we'll just ask? Who'll give us everything? And again, I have to qualify that statement and say that this is not for us to fulfill all of our fleshly desires. We're speaking in spiritual terms here. Whenever we say, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I need. And it's, as long as it's within the perimeters of God's Word, ask. Amen. It's okay. Ask. Go ahead and ask the Lord. Young men and young ladies, ask the Lord. Give me the husband I need. Give me the wife that I need. Ask. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the right thing. Matter of fact, you should have been praying about that a long time. Amen. Amen. Ask Him. ask you. Don't you think He cares about that? He cares about every detail of your life. He gave His only Son that you might be saved. The ultimate gift. And so He is a God who will take care of everything that you have need of in your future, as long as you're pursuing the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he said to him, Lord, I want my sight. I want my sight. That was the issue. That was the thing that had controlled his life. That was the thing that had kept him on the side of the highway all the days of his life, living a life of humiliation and hopelessness. And he was a second generation of that, at least a second generation of hopelessness. He wanted it to be over. He wanted to be over. Lord, give me a vision. Give me vision. Let me see. Open my eyes that I might be able to see. Glory to God. And that's exactly what happened. What would you have me to do? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now get the picture here, because really that phrase, in the way, is the same words used in the first verse there where it says that he was the son of Timotheus sitting by the highway begging. In the way and the highway, the same wording there. So he is at the side of the highway in hopelessness, but now Jesus is saying, receive your sight and get up on that highway and begin to follow me. Get up on that highway. You've been sitting by the sidelines all of these years. Your whole life has been hopeless on the side of the highway. Now I'm telling you, get up on the highway and begin to follow me. Begin to believe me. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for the First Pentecostal Church. He has a plan for the work and the ministry that we're to fulfill in these last days. And what a sad thing it would be for us just to go along, just existing, go along, just maintaining without ever seeking the Lord or asking the Lord, Lord, what do you want to do? And how do you want to work? And what is your plan in these coming weeks and months? What do you want to do? We need to ask the Lord. As a people, individually, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, give me a vision. Open my spiritual eyes. Help me to see. Help me to see, Lord, so that I'm not just so confined by my limitations in the flesh. But Lord, open my spiritual eyes so I can see what you want to do with me and in my life. Help me to see, Lord, the future you've got planned. I don't want to miss out on that. Amen. Glory to God. I guess there's just something that happens to you. Because it's been happening to me recently. In September, I hit 55. Now, some of you, that may not seem all that painful. But at 55, when I hit 55, I started really... None of the other birthdays really bothered me all that much. This one's kind of bothered me. 55. And I'm thinking, 10 years from now, I'm going to be 65. If the Lord lets me live that long. 65... Is that retirement age? I was encouraged. I heard on the radio that they're probably going to move the retirement age to 69 or something, or 67 in a few years. What is happening is our lives, it's going by quickly. And opportunities are being lost. Potential is being lost. And even our future is moving out away from our grasp. We've got to take hold of it now and do with our life what God plans for us to do. Amen. Where there's no vision, where there's no continuous revelation of the plan and the purpose of God, then people don't have any guide, they don't have any restraint. They're just living their life carelessly. They don't know where they're going or where they're going to end up. They're just living, you know, a haphazard life, just thinking, well, live and let live. Whatever is going to happen is going to happen. You think that's the plan of God? That's not God's will. The will of God is that you be walking with the Lord, walking in the Spirit, and that every day of your life, that there is this relationship with Jesus Christ in the Word and in prayers. You walk with the Lord every day of your life so that the Lord is directing you and working in your life to fulfill His plan. What is it that He wants for you and for your future? I can tell you, He doesn't want you by the side of the road begging, existing, just surviving. He wants you to be living a life of victory and hope. He's got a plan for you. He wants you to live out your life fulfilling the purpose of God that you have. You say, oh, it's not going to happen for me. Have you asked the Lord about it? Have you asked Him? That's what Jesus is asking you to do. He's telling you to do. Ask me, what would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to work in your life? And as I've already said, within the guideline and the perimeters of the Word of God, you've got a great, vast possibility that you can ask Him to do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I just pray that today, that right here in this place, that hopelessness, Lord, that it would be destroyed. Doubt and unbelief, Lord, that it would be gone. And that, Lord, that every person, regardless of our circumstance, regardless of our problems, regardless of our limitations, that, Lord, that You would speak the truth into our hearts here today. And, Lord, help us to purpose to ask You and to seek You. Because we know, Lord, that we want to live out the days of our life pleasing You and fulfilling Your plan and Your purpose for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I really believe that the same thing that the Lord is dealing with me about. The other day we talked about Moses with that rod in his hand. What's in your hand? What's in your hand? What do you have? What do you have? Give it to God. Dedicate it to God. Begin to move forward the promises of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the miracles begin whenever you begin committing what you have to the Lord. Amen. Remember that widow with the two sons in the Bible? She gathered up, first of all of those vessels and poured out. First of all, she gave what she had. And then the miracle started whenever she came to her limitation and God began to supernaturally fill those vessels. Hallelujah. What the Lord wants you to do is give yourself to Him completely. The beginning of hope for your life is in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It's the only hope for any of you here today. All of us, it begins with Jesus. It begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is here this morning. He's passing by just like He did on that day. And what you need to do, what I need to do, is reach out to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, oh, there has to be this open flow of the voice of God, the move of God in our life. Hallelujah. Let's let God deal with us and speak to us about our lives, our futures, the purpose and the plan of God for us. Amen. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus, you're not a Christian, that's where it all begins. If you're weary with your life, if you're weary with just existence, your life doesn't seem to have any meaning at all, you need Jesus. You need the Lord in your life. That's where it begins. I don't want to invite you to come. If you're here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus. You haven't placed Him as the center of your life. I want you to come. Come right here to this altar. Kneel right here at this altar. We're going to pray with you. You want to give it all to the Lord. This is where it begins. Right here at an altar of prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Give it to Jesus. Surrender your days, your life, your future to Him. He cares about you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's pray together. Everybody that would. Amen. There's plenty of time. Let's make an altar here around the front of this sanctuary. Let's pray a little while about our lives, about our callings, about our future, about God's plan for us. And let's commit our ways to the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you come? Amen. Let's come together. Let's pray together. Let's believe God.